Okono Reel 3. Now, in the opening battle for the forts, the whole operation hinged on A, surprise, and B, the decisive use of the infantry tanks.
Yes.
I think the operation at Sidi Barani was rather similar in conception, wasn't it? How would you compare the plans for the two operations?
For which operations? You mean the Sidi Barani and...
And the opening attack on the Safafi forts.
Well, the Sidi Barani... I mean, the attack on the enemy-defended positions was part of the Battle of Sidi Barani. I mean, it was all part of the same battle. Sidi Barani lasted for about 4 days, in which the first day stage was the attack on the first camp we attacked, and then we went northward, attacking each one separately.
And would I be right in thinking that the tactics that you used during the course of the of Sidi Barani battle, the various stages of it, first on the forts and finally on Sidi Barani itself, would I be right in thinking that the tactics for each phase of that battle were rather similar?
Yes, they were very similar, because they were the same sort of battle. We had the same type of enemy to take on. They were in these defended perimeter camps, and really the same tactical questions arose in attacking them, which we did one after the other. And so the tactics were, in fact, similar.
These were all basically defended forts, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
Yes. Well, what were the main features of the forts which you had to overcome, and how did you do that?
Well, they were about strength of about a division each or more, sometimes more than a division. And for the original attack against the first one, I was very insistent that we should attack them from the west, that is, from the way their rations would come. And secondly, I knew that by having our operations, as it were, behind their front, we would be protecting ourselves against enemy air attack, because they would be afraid to attack us, because they would damage their own, hit their own people. And so from every point of view, the right position to start was attacking the enemy from most unexpected quarter, from the way his rations would come, and that really was the basis of the first run. Mm. And it was preceded by a heavy, short bombardment, which came as a complete surprise to the enemy, and immediately followed up by the I tanks, who blasted their way into the camp area, closely followed by the infantry. Mm. And to a minor degree, the remaining camps were tackled in the same way.
Could you compare the opening battles on these armed forts and the tactics which you worked out to deal with them with the operations at Bardia, Tobruk, where you had defences of rather different quality and character to deal with?
Yes, it was required an entirely different technique. explained how we dealt with the attack on in the fortress, in the enemy perimeter camps at Sidi Barani, And what we had to tackle at Bardi and Tobruk were entirely different. They were strong actual fortresses with a very large anti-tank ditch surrounding them and wire, and a really strong, very strong position. And there was no way of getting the tanks in except to bridge the ditch. And we couldn't bridge the ditch whilst the enemy was shooting at us, so we had to have a preliminary operation by infantry during the night of the attack, with the help of a very heavy artillery barrage, advance and take a bridgehead in the line, that place we selected, and immediately that was completed, the sappers would be all ready to make a series of bridges over the anti-tank ditch, and the tanks would then pass over the ditch and get into the area where they were able to operate. That was those were the tactics employed, really, at Tobruk, at Bardia and Tobruk.
Yes.
Do you want me to, the final, anything about?
Yes. The final. One of the things which interests me about Beda Farm is that I think that at Beda Farm this was the one operation in which the infantry tanks didn't play the most important role.
Yes.
How would you explain and differentiate the problems of Beda Farm with the battles that have preceded
well,
it?
Well, you had to look at the map to get the answer to that one. And if you did, you would find that the area of Beda Farm consisted of the town of Benghazi, and there the road turned due south towards Sirte, and that instead of attacking Benghazi direct, that one I decided to direct a force southwest, which would in fact cut off all the troops of the enemy who were fighting in the Benghazi area. And this would come, I hoped, as a complete surprise. Moreover, that attack would have to be carried out not by infantry, but by the armored division in the way I thought that an armored division of that strength should be used. They should be used over long, long distances in which they would come up and place themselves in a position that they could, in this case, entirely cut off the retreat of the army, the enemy army, who were fighting the Benghazi area.
One thing which struck me about that decision was that because the armoured division had to move over about 150 miles of quite unreconnoitred
yes.
country, you might have been taking a bit of a gamble.
It was a gamble. And it was more than a gamble than might appear necessary, because I refused to have the area that we were going to use reconnoitred, except from the air. Because I knew that if we began reconnoitering, sending patrols out in that area, we would once more warn the enemy, and that was our intention to attack from that direction. And they would have fallen back earlier, and we would never have caught them in the traps that we did.
Now, I know from the written accounts of the campaign that Wavell had taken the decision to remove 4th Indian Division for operations in Sudan before your campaign actually began. One of the things I wanted to ask you was whether you had any knowledge of that intention?
I had none at all. And it came as a complete and a very unpleasant surprise. And General Wavell afterwards told me, he said, I purposely didn't tell you, because I thought it might in some way possibly affect your operations. But really, of course, it put paid on the question of immediate exploitation. I don't doubt the desirability, if not necessity, of those troops being brought to East Africa, where they were going to, and Ethiopia. But it all arose from the fact, really, that they didn't expect a big success. And they weren't prepared, when it did come, to alter their plan. I don't say that they were wrong for one moment, but I mean that was a fact, that by doing as they did, they made it impossible, more than to a limited extent, to follow up and exploit. And as a result, the Indian Division were replaced by the 6th Australian Division, who were not in the in the Delta, not in the desert at all, who had never been trained in desert warfare and had to be rearmed with modern artillery, and in no way compared with their training at that moment of the 4th Indian Division, who had been, as you might say, had months of training in the desert. The net result was that this particular removal of the 4th Indian Division resulted in a delay of a full month before we could attack Bardia, and by so doing, we lost surprise completely, and so we had to start again from square one.
Were there any particular problems that were associated with losing a very experienced and highly trained division like 4th Indian,
yes,
and then having to replace it with a comparatively inexperienced division, which the 6th Australian was?
Well, they were. It is perfectly true. I mean, it is a big disadvantage, but they were remarkably quick in getting down to it and realizing that they got to learn something about the desert before they went into it. And straight away, we got onto the question of the planning of what they were going to be destined for, which was the capture of Bardia, and detachments of their troops were being sent up to the desert all the time during that month, getting to know the desert and getting to know the area, getting to know how troops behaved in the desert, food, all the other things they had to think about. And so at the end of the month, they'd had, thanks to their own efforts, a very considerable amount of training.
Did you find that you had to change your plans at all to take account of the fact that you had to work with 6th Australian and not 4th Indian?
I think not, really, in the end. I think the only thing is that, of course, if we'd use the 4th Indian Division, the same thing would not have arisen. We wouldn't have had to take Bardia in the way we did as a very definite operation. We would have overrun it, and we would probably have overrun Tobruk too.
By maintaining the momentum,
yes,
of your advance.
Yes, well, it completely changed the momentum of our attack,
yes,
and delayed it by a month and lost the prize.
One of the characteristics of the whole of the Libyan campaign which you conducted was that throughout it there were always dangers that the forces you were commanding would be dispersed for operations in other areas, particularly later on for the operations in Greece. Could you give me some idea whether this continual threat affected your planning or affected the conduct of your operations in any way?
I don't think really that it did in the end. I mean, it affected me because it was always something that might happen. I mean, after all, we lost the 4th Indian Division, and from then onwards we lost small detachments, maybe in engineers, and we lost quite a number of the Air Force. And one always felt all the time that there was a very definite threat of losing more. And, in fact, I always classify myself as a poor relation, actually. But I don't think that it really affected the operation in the end. We went ahead with what we intended to do.
Very interested to hear you say you felt like a poor relation. Did you really feel while you were carrying out the campaign that it was a minor campaign?
Yes, I did. And therefore that we had, in duty bound, to play up to the what we considered was probably to be the major campaign.